Next on BYUSN, the Pac-12 is back! Kind of. Who's joining the league and what does it mean for BYU? The 2025 non-conference schedule takes shape, which ACC team is coming to Provo next year, and what Group 5 road game is on the schedule?
San Francisco 49er great Randy Cross will join the program. He's on the call of the BYU football game this weekend at Wyoming. And clarification on who we may see run the ball for the Cougars on the road against the Cowboys.
Chep's getting some carries. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, September 12th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is pronunciation how now brown cow expert Jason Shepherd.
It is true. I got a master's in linguistics. I did not.
My brother-in-law did.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Here's the thing. You know, we are starting to see an influx of players from different parts of the country than what we've seen on campus a lot.
Or the world.
One of them being one of our favorites and somebody that we are all very excited to see this year, Yegor Demin.
Oh, is that how you say it?
That is how you say it. It is
Yegor.
We've
been saying that for months.
Just constantly think how many times during the season you're going to be saying, yay, Yegor. Just, it's a perfect way to remember
dad jokes.
That.
That's what this show is. It's mostly just people who would say dad jokes.
But really, well, let's just go ahead and watch this video, and he will tell you what he's talking about.
Okay. Yo, what's up, Cougs? I've been reading those comments where you guys don't know how to, you don't know my name, and I'm actually never said it. So my first name is Yegor, and my last name is Demin. Yegor Demin. And no more denim jeans. No more ever. Never ever.
I don't know who said this morning during our production. I mean, I can't remember.
Ben.
Okay,
Ben Bagley,
yes. He made a great joke after. He's like, what would have been really funny is if when Yegor turned around and walked away, he was wearing jeans or jorts.
Yes.
Yeah, like either one. That would have been hilarious.
Like Reno 911 style would have been something. That would have been funny. Hey, there's a lot to talk about today with conference realignment, non-conference schedules. Oh, by the way, BYU's playing a football game in 2 days. So let's break it down, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
I would love to see like an Oregon State or Washington State.
I feel the same way, dude. Those teams were part of BYU's independent schedules.
They are in need of a bunch of games.
Yep.
Invite one of those teams that are now Pac-12 teams.
Oh, What's Trending presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. The Pac-12 is back, sort of. Starting July 1st, 2026, Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, remember them, will join Oregon State and Washington State in the Pac-12 or the Pac-6. The league will still require two more teams to comply with NCAA rules. There's some big financial ramifications like, I don't know, $17 million to leave the Mountain West each, and the Pac-12 will owe the Mountain West $43 million, totals $111 million. Besides that, hey, good for you. Shep, what do you make of more conference realignment news that surfaced last night and then boom, this morning at 7 a.m.
The first thing that I take away from this, if you don't have state in your school, you're not getting into the Pac-12.
You cannot be in the Pac-12.
Air Force, New Mexico, UNLV, guys are out of luck. Utah State, things may be looking
Utah
up for
State,
you.
Utah State, hey, Aggies all the way. Are they getting in?
I don't know. This was, first of all, it's I look at this as like ninja news. Like just out of the blue, it just shows up.
Ninja news.
Like you're not expecting it. Things are fine. Nothing. Boom, it's there.
Yes.
We hear nothing about this. And then all of a sudden, you hear it.
Poof.
By the way, this is happening in the morning.
Do you remember The Onion?
Like oh, yeah.
Sports?
Oh, yeah.
They did a funny sketch on like a ninja parade every year, but they could never see the ninjas. They had a picture from 1988.
Just when we think things have settled down for a little bit, you know,
no.
It's never settled.
It's a volcano. It rumbles occasionally.
The landscape of collegiate athletics is in constant flux. And this is just another example of that. And really what this boils down to is, because essentially what the Pac-12 has done, they've basically created another Mountain West, but with the Pac-12 name. And they are banking on the fact that if you get the best of what is in the Mountain West, and then you add the Pac-12 name and its brand and its history, that maybe you will be able to get a little bit more financial compensation down the road.
Now, meaning a better TV contract?
Meaning a better TV contract. Now, I don't know what it is. I think if memory serves, I believe all the Mountain West Conference schools are making like 3.7. I think that's about what it is.
I have no idea.
I think it's between 3 and 4 million. So let's say that you make another $1.5 million. In the grand scheme of things, does it matter? Not really. But would you rather have an extra $1 million, $1.5 million or not? I think
that's
like
40% increase or something, right?
That's true.
Like that's a big number, relatively speaking.
Yes.
Now, when you're in a Power Four league and it's 30 to 60 million, that's very different, right?
Yeah, it's
and that's where BYU sits, which is comfortable. But for these schools, it's interesting because is it worth it to have a little bit more? But it's really for a sticker.
Right.
It's for the Pac-12 logo.
Well, but the logo does not come with what has given the Pac-12 its brand, and that's UCLA,
USC. What do you
USC,
mean, Conference of Champions? What are you talking
and
about?
And Oregon. It doesn't. Right. Those teams don't come with
and
the
UCLA
brand.
And UCLA, and
Yeah. So it's that. Yeah. That's the part. The other thing here. They're not even officially a conference yet. They've got to have 8 members.
So 2 more are going in minimum.
So there's gonna have to be another 2 coming in. There's a lot of speculation on where those come from. Do they come from other teams that are currently in the Mountain West?
UNLV feels like a no-brainer for Vegas.
Memphis, Tulane, and other ones in the AAC that have been mentioned. What do you make of this?
How far do you expand, right? I grew up in Pac-12 country before I moved to Utah, and Pac-10. I love the Pac-10. Like, I was sad when it dissolved. Did it strengthen the Big 12? Absolutely. So that's kind of number one there. But, hey, first couple of thoughts are, okay, this is interesting. Is it worth the financial stress of getting out of the league to do this? Are they going to make that up that easy? Are the collectives, are the donors at these schools big enough to merit this over time? This is a real financial challenge for these schools. 17 mil is not a small number. They stopped getting money from the Mountain West, and that'll chip away at that 17 mil to go down.
Well, the other part about this is the money that Washington State and Oregon State received from the teams that left, they are using that money to help offset the costs of these buyouts.
And is that part of the 43 mil they owe the Mountain West, or is that part of the 17 mil?
Now that's
111
know.
Total.
Right. The Mountain West is going to make out all right.
It's not a small number for these schools that are not pulling in 30 to 60 million a year. So this will be interesting. They must have seen a TV contract that was bigger and better than what they had. If you're Oregon State and Washington, this is a big celebration day. So a couple thoughts here. One, if I'm Utah State, I'm lobbying hard to try and get in right now. Utah State's always sort of been behind BYU and Utah in conference affiliation, right? Could they get into the Pac-12 and be not on equal footing, but in the 5th best league? That'd be the best situation Utah State's ever been in if they could get into that. A lot of turmoil right now in that athletic department, trying to figure things out. Utah, if you're really disgruntled with the Big 12, now's the time to go back. If you want to go back, it's there, dog. Stanford and Cal and Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, they've signed up for other stuff. The Big 12 teams through 31, and the ACC teams through 36, which someone joked, the sun might burn up the earth before that contract's done. If you're Stanford and Cal, you're like, buyer's remorse?
Well, there are a lot of people that think they should still look into doing that.
Or do they have enough money to just get themselves out anyway? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see that. This does seem to be an expensive Mountain West Plus. And are we going to see the Mountain return? I know they own the Pac-12 network still. They could resurrect that. Could you merge those two failed networks together?
Where do they go? Because you're now diluting that even more than what it was.
The Mountain West, you're saying?
The Mountain West.
They'll have 8 so they can function. But let's think of this.
But you're going to want to grow. You're going to want to stay ahead of now the Pac-12.
Do you say North Dakota State, come be FBS. Come be in the Mountain West. You kind of fit in, not regionally per se, kind of. But like, do they fit culturally in this? Can we give you some TV money? You want to make the jump, or do you want to keep dominating?
I think both should go towards Texas, somewhere in the state of Texas.
Perhaps. Do you go UTSA?
Yeah, that one's the one that makes a lot of sense.
Stephen F. Austin or something? You know, who knows? And frankly, once we start going down that avenue, I don't really care. is the TV deal that much better? And then you look at the college football playoff. They will be the 5th best league and probably the highest ranked conference champ that's the 5th best team. So they can get in.
They would have likely been that May in the Mountain West.
Yes. Boise State's chances of making the playoff have increased tremendously now. And if you're Oregon State and Washington State, you're like, all right, we'll just kind of be in the mix now. So it's interesting. From a scheduling standpoint for BYU, will this league be counted as a power league? Can you play Boise State as that Power 5 component in non-conference now?
I don't.
Do you want that? I'm interested. I don't even know who declares that. Is it the College Football Playoff that says that, or is it the Big 12 that says, we recognize the new Pac-12 in 2026 as a power league. You can schedule Colorado State as your P5 non-conference game. Because I'd be fine with that.
Yeah,
I don't need a big opponent in non-conference for BYU. It's hard enough in the Big 12.
I don't see them getting that. In fact, I'm trying to remember. I've read so many stories on this morning. There was somebody that in their article said they will not be given the P5-4 designation. That's not happening. They will be a G5 league.
So you can make that a G5 game if you want.
Yeah, so it could be a G5 league. But this, what they're doing now, even if they added Cal and Stanford back, they're not a power league. That status is gone.
This is where Florida State and Clemson get interesting.
Right.
Like if they leave the ACC and that implodes, like if you're the Big 12, you try and get that, and then is the Pac-12 just the other ACC? All coast of everybody else. We'll see what happens in this. TV contracts and scheduling. It does affect BYU in that, are they going to schedule some of these teams more often now? If I'm Utah State, I'm trying to get in hard. This morning I am pinging
absolutely
the Pac-12 hard, if they haven't already.
All right, you mentioned schedules. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. This has been a fun,
hey,
been a fun morning already
because
we've got
morning,
a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
The 2025 BYU football non-conference schedule beginning to take shape. FB Schedules reported yesterday that BYU will host the Stanford Cardinal next season.
Okay.
In a game that was originally scheduled for 2031, so it's been moved up 6 years. You add that to Portland State, replacing the Southern Utah game, and then a road game at East Carolina, and there's BYU's non-conference schedule next year. Do you like those three?
I don't like G5 road games, no. So I don't like at ECU, although that's a return game from 2022.
Right.
When ECU made a field goal as time expired to beat BYU. That was a tough one. Stanford, that's fine. That's a game I like playing with the old, speaking of Pac-10, Pac-12, now ACC team. Hey, BYU beats up on an ACC team last week. And SMU beats up, wins by three. Portland State, I'm interested to see, will that be the week one game, or is week one September 6th where you open the season with Stanford? I'd prefer to open the season with FCS team. So we'll see if BYU has a bye week in week two or if that's Portland State. But that's fine. That feels like three games that BYU can win, and that's exactly what I want out of non-conference. I don't need a big challenge. The challenge is league play. I want 3-0 every year from BYU in non-conference. So I'm excited. Yeah, that seems fine. Southern Utah gets moved to later as well, as you mentioned. So I'm cool with it. The FB schedule is doing work. It's their job to know the schedules. They pulled some records, requests, and they talked to the Stanford Sports Information Department. So I'm cool with that. I think that's a solid, good situation for BYU. Would I love to have 7 home games at some point for the Cougs? Yeah. Not a huge fan of G5 road games. I know several teams in the Big 12 are playing them, notably Utah State this week. Mm-hmm. No Cam Rising, reportedly, by the way, with the finger injury. He probably could be good on November 9th, I would think.
Well, the report from McMurphy said that he is not – he's – not likely to play,
but
will be available the following week against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, if I'm Utah, I need him next week.
Yeah.
I don't need him this week.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I'm fine with that schedule. I like you, don't necessarily like traveling to a G5. But look, I mean, I also understand that when you are in a league like the Big 12 or any power league, you're the one that's supposed to be able to go on the road regardless of who you play in a G5, and you're supposed to be able to beat them.
But also, you're Power 4, so why do you play that anyway?
No, I totally understand. I would prefer not to have to go to East Carolina, but in terms of, like, the actual teams, I like that's fine.
BYU doesn't buy out G5 road games. That's what we've learned.
Right.
What I want is to not schedule them in the future, because these are leftovers from previous games. Series. What I'm interested in, and I need to figure out, I need to ask some people, is does BYU have a lot of these to fulfill from 2020? Like, does BYU have to go to all the teams that they hosted? Was that a 2-game deal? Was that a 1-game deal? Is BYU going to Troy? Are they going to Texas State? Are they going to Louisiana Tech? A lot of these schools out of the Sun Belt that BYU played in 2020? I hope not! Because I want G5 home games, an FCS game, and then every other year you have that Power 4 team at home, and some years you get 7 home games. Those are the years where you have a better chance to win 8 or 9 games, Shep. which and that one special year where you're competing for the Big 12 title and maybe you're in the playoff, that's when you're going to have it, when you have seven home games.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the precedent has been set. I think it was last week where Tom Holman was quoted in some of the local newspapers where he said, you know, we probably could have gotten out of this Wyoming game, but that's not how we do business. We had made a promise that we were going to do this. And so if there are opportunities like East Carolina where BYU has committed to play these games, they are going to live up to their word.
I just hate the fact that in 2017, BYU went there and lost, and there's a little bit of scar tissue.
Right now.
They're really, like, it's a lose-lose in that, it's a win in that you fulfill the contract. I see that point of it. But also, you're a Power 4 team. You got some cash. You can buy them out a little bit. They paid SEU $200,000 more to move that game. So I know that's not a couple mil here and there, but you got some money laying around somewhere. How close was BYU to pulling Jake Retzlaff versus SMU for Gary Bohannon? Here's what offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick said after practice yesterday.
No one has a license to just make mistakes at any position indefinitely. But we were always in a good position to win the game. He did make a lot of good plays in the game as well. There were some things in that game that were outstanding. But I'll just say no one has a license to just play poorly for forever. You know? But he did a lot of good things as well.
Does that mean you wouldn't hesitate to turn to Gary if he struggles again?
Yeah, we have trust in Gary, but we didn't think about changing in that game. We were always in good position to win. Felt like a couple of those mistakes were, you know, they're things very preventable. We need to protect the ball better for sure. But there was a lot going on. Sometimes it isn't always perfectly readily obvious to everyone who's watching.
And I think he's alluding to not necessarily all Jake's fault, is what he's saying there. What do you make of these comments on BYU wasn't close to pulling Jake Retzlaff against SMU?
Yeah, a little surprised, but I mean, what A-Rod just said, that's exactly what you want to hear from your offensive coordinator, that nobody has a license to just play however they want, and if it's not good enough, that they just get to keep playing. I mean, that's exactly what you want a coach to say, that if somebody's not playing well enough, that you have confidence in the people that are backing them up, that if a change needs to be made, that you will make it. He did not feel that a change was necessary. Obviously, things turned out well. And look, he's right.
Thanks to the defense.
Yeah. Well, but,
and some timely play.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what he said is right, and I know that some people don't necessarily want to hear this, but there are other things that the casual fan, and I'm even putting us in that, you know, that we see and we make these snap judgments immediately because of, you know, what we think we see or what, you know, our impression of it. But there are other things going on that when these guys are studying this, and this is everything they're focusing on, they see certain things. And I'm not saying that gives everybody a pass, but he's right. What he said is exactly what you want to hear, that nobody has a license to play poorly and feel like they have the right to keep going, that if somebody is not playing the way they need to, that they will make the decision, if it's necessary, to bring somebody else in. I had no problems
because
with that.
BYU won. If BYU had lost, it would be so much louder. Oh, my gosh, it would be louder. I thought they were closer to maybe pulling him than I thought. I thought they were one drive away, maybe a drive or two before that. But luckily, BYU made a couple of plays, notably fourth and two, 9-yard Enoch Nawahine touchdown, fourth and one, 37-yard Miles Davis. Those helped BYU get in position to win the game, and they did, and the defense locked it down.
Well, the adjustment
luckily,
to run Retzlaff more opened things up. That changed that second half where they used him more on the ground game, that was an adjustment that really paid off.
He didn't explode for any run that was that big, really. He's averaging 3.6 yards per carry in non-sack carries. It's not like he's a madman right now rushing the ball. But it did open things up a little bit enough to get you some space for some timely play. So, interesting stuff from A-Rod.
Yeah, some other stuff. He did mention yesterday officially ruling out L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati at running back. So, at the beginning of the week, it was doubtful. They are now officially out. So, who gets more carries, in your opinion, this weekend in Laramie? Is it going to be Miles Davis or Enoch Nawahine?
I think it's Enoch Nawahine. I think they showed us their hand last week that if they're going to run traditional between the tackles, bigger back stuff, it's going to be Nawahine. If it's outside, if it's stretch, if it's wide, it's going to be Miles Davis. So I think Enoch does. I think it's a heavy dose of those two. I think we see Pokai Hong a little bit. Maybe even Jovessa Demuni, that's Jack Demuni's nephew, Raider Demuni's cousin. So we'll see, man. Hopefully it's a blowout and we're seeing all kinds of guys. Yeah. And you're like, who's that? Well, we just told you about him. So I'm going to go with Enoch Nwahune.
Yeah, I think I lean that direction myself. But I also think, going back to the point I made a second ago, I think we will see much more of Jake Retzlaff running the football earlier in the game to sort of set everything up and maybe loosen things up a little bit, keep the defense honest for Wyoming. But I think ultimately Nwahune probably gets more carries. But what we saw from Miles Davis, he's kind of that he can break one. He could be one of your big play guys. So I would not be surprised to see one of those again as well.
If Miles Davis was on the baseball team, you could be like, dude, he's a triple threat in that he could get to third at any moment.
Yeah.
He can do a lot of things that are very interesting. Okay, last but not least, Cougar Club Hall of Fame inductees are out. Loaded class. Awesome. Dave Rose, congratulations. Brian Billick, Ravens Super Bowl champ, former player here. Jennifer Hampson, perhaps the greatest dual sport athlete in women's sports history, maybe just the greatest women's athlete here ever. Futi Tavana, volleyball All-American. Lacey Kramer Blizzard, a multi-track national champion. And Matt Payne, who's a tackling machine slash kicker, punter. Is this one of the best classes ever?
Look, anytime you have Dave Rose, Brian Billick, and I agree with you 100%, Jen Hampson, if for those that weren't familiar with her career, didn't get to see her play in either sport, she was amazing with basketball.
All-American in two sports.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, Matt Payne, his hit at Boise State.
Hits,
yes.
The same spot.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah,
Speaking of Boise State.
Yeah. Yeah, it all comes back. And there's more about Boise State later in the show, by the way.
That was a Pac-12 kind of hit.
Yeah.
From Matt
Payne. Yeah, this is, I mean, I don't know where it ranks, but the names that are in this, my goodness, you're talking about, upper echelon here.
I'm starting to feel old where three of those athletes were like 10-ish years ago, because it's a 10-year minimum, by the way, from when you graduate and finish, or just finish.
How many years have you been out of school? Have you reached your 10 before
you're
inducted?
Right now it's 15. Yeah, okay. No.
Still waiting on that call?
No, they're not calling me, dude. They're never calling me. Oh, man. Okay, yeah, it's pretty awesome. Okay, our question of the day is this. Do you want to see BYU schedule teams from the new Pac-12? Why or why not? At Twigger Stone. Yes, some great history there. Selfishly, I hope they come to Boise where I live. But they should always be home games. Well, BYU shown it's going to be home and run. At my burner for real. So Kevin Durant weighing in. Yay.
Yay?
Yeah, yeah. Like a scriptural.
Yay for verily.
Yay, verily thus saith the Lord. As our yearly G5 game, it shouldn't replace our out-of-conference power conference game. It should always be Boise. You have to play a power 4 game. That is required by the Big 12. So you got to play somebody. So my question is, and you were saying, hey, it sounds like reportedly they're not going to get that status. You can't make one of those games that. Next year, until we heard the Stanford news, we were thinking, hey, maybe it's Washington State or Oregon State. But that game gets moved up 6 years, and you play Stanford. And that's going to be, I believe, is that the return game from 22?
Yeah, from 2 years ago.
Is that what that is?
From 2 years ago.
I know they talked about playing like two home, two road a while back. But, yeah, I like a Stanford game every now and then. I think it's fun. Obviously, Tom Homel helped coach at Stanford in his time there, learning from Bill Walsh before he went to the Niners as a player and then or as a coach as well after he was playing. So a lot of connections in the Bay Area with Tom Homo and Stanford and whatnot. So continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, football just a couple of days away. BYU on the road at Wyoming this Saturday. BYU Sports Nation game day getting underway, 7 Eastern time on BYU TV. Cougar pregame live with yours truly. Also at 7 Eastern time on BYU Radio. The game can be seen at 9 Eastern on CBS Sports Network and listened to on BYU Radio.
Coming up, ESPN's Football Power Index now likes BYU as a bowl-eligible team. Is the big jump justified after one game? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Like they played against SMU, it's going to be hard to score on these guys.
And throws, intercepted!
But this is a game where you need to get some confidence.
BYU should feel plenty motivated, especially the offense.
Yes, they should. We're live in Studio B for your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play. Jeremy Jordan, Jason Shepard. 2 days before BYU at Wyoming. Check out the pregame starting at 7 Eastern with Shep on BYU Radio and with Dave Spence and the boys on BYU TV. Okay, after the SMU win, ESPN's Football Power Index, they give odds to win six games, a.k.a. go to a bowl game.
Right.
That jumped from 31% to 76% with BYU at 2-0. Is that fair? You think that number, that increase of 45% was merited?
Yeah, I do. And look, it goes back to what we talked about all during the offseason. That SMU game to me, I know a lot of people before the season started, and now we have a little bit more to go on in terms of what Wyoming looks like heading into this game. Everybody was worried about Wyoming. For me, it was the SMU game. That was always going to be the one that determined if BYU was going to be 2-1 in non-conference or 3-0. And the fact that they were able to get that win, it really does set them up. If they can go ahead and handle business on Saturday, which I fully expect them to do, head into conference play.
I would hope so.
Yes,
they
yes.
just left Idaho at home, okay?
It was that big of a game. It's a 40% increase in your chances of being able to get to six wins. It's massive.
And now it's 86.5% at Wyoming, by the way, which is the biggest number all year. You're sub 40 against Kansas State. Oh, Baylor up to 44%. Arizona up to 46%. So there's a few more. How about UCF being 18%? You're telling me 8% worse chance to win at UCF than Utah?
You have a better chance to win in Salt Lake than Orlando.
That seems crazy to me. This game Saturday is not about whether BYU wins. It's about can BYU establish the run game and take care of the ball. I'm looking at those two things. And the third thing would be, can the defense dominate like they did against SMU? Wyoming's really struggled to put up points. They're averaging 10 a game. They've thrown for 168 total in two games. Like, it's some tough stuff. When you lose to Idaho, I know Idaho's a good FCS team right now, challenged Oregon, beat
But you don't lose that team at home.
It was the backup quarterback at Idaho last week, too. If this BYU defense can play 80% of what they did at SMU, which maybe it's 70%, like, they should run away with this thing. But can Jake Retzlaff take care of the ball? Can BYU establish a run game even though L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati are out? This is an interesting dynamic because it's like, BYU should dominate, BYU should dominate. But Jake Retzlaff's trying to figure out how to take care of the ball against FBS teams and Power 4 teams. Granted, 2-4 as a starter, but five of those six have been against Power 4 teams. That's a tough slate, right? There's probably not been a BYU quarterback that's ever just jumped into 5 of 6 or Power 4. And last year was tough. And then you're asking the third and fourth string to establish the run for you. But what we're really asking, Shep, is the O-line to establish the run. I need to see 4.5 yards per carry in this. Not four. I need 4.5 plus. Can BYU be a little more explosive down the field, too? We didn't see a lot of intermediate to deep shots in this game. Granted, BYU does have 3 50-plus yard plays from three different guys. So I'm excited to see Chase, Keelan, Darius, who are the three. Can they get involved down the field some more? Can BYU dominate? Yeah. Like, because it's not about winning.
Right.
You got to dominate. Because then if you go into Kansas State and you haven't dominated and you've turned it over and you don't have a run game, it's going to be tough because Kansas State is a very good defense and Avery Johnson can run effectively. Is he a best quarterback BYU's played up to this point? Absolutely. So it's not just about Wyoming. You're getting ready for Big 12 play.
Yeah, and it's very reminiscent of all of the things that we talked about going into the season opener against Southern Illinois, that yes, you're expected to win. You should absolutely win. It's how you win. How do you look while you're winning? And it's very reminiscent with that game that what we're talking about here. And I agree with you. If the defense plays anywhere close to the way they played at SMU, with the way Wyoming's offense has struggled mightily, I just don't know how they're going to score enough.
Yeah, no. I expect a single score from Wyoming, a field goal or a touchdown.
Right.
If it's anything over that, I'll be like, yo, what happened from last week?
What you don't,
if we're going to hold this defense to that score.
Yes, what you don't want to do is have Wyoming get some early confidence, maybe get a score, and it's like, oh, maybe they figured, you know, not that ultimately BYU probably still doesn't win, but when a team is down like this, you do not want to give them any hope. You want to make sure that they continue to struggle. That's what BYU's job is. Win the game, keep the Cowboys struggling.
I talked about it yesterday, but they're bottom 20 in everything that matters. Dude. They've really struggled. Don't let them find it. Don't let them find it.
And keep your helmet on the whole game. Make sure that
Jake Kristoff talked about that yesterday. He said the stories we've talked about earlier this week.
Have you ever been to a BYU football game up there?
Twice.
I've been there once.
Yeah. It was 5-09.
It was insane.
No, it's as Wyoming is. It's the Wild Wild West.
Yes.
Crazy. My favorite part of Wyoming is the west side where Yellowstone is. Okay, so there you go. Hey, check out women's soccer taking on Arizona State tonight in Big 12 play, 9 Eastern time on ESPN+. Arizona State 5-0-2. So it's a big game. Big game for the
Their first ever Big 12 game for any sport.
Give them a loss. Let's go. Welcome to the league. You lose. Coming up, this day in Cougar football features a Hail Mary. Which one? And a new hoops coach was announced this morning. We'll tell you who. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. We're in Studio B. I'm Jerem Jordan. He's Jason Shepherd. Lots of news going on today. Before we get to headlines, in honor of 100 seasons of BYU football, we look back each day and show at some of the best moments, wins, plays, on this date in Cougar football history. What do we have today, Sean?
Yeah, September 12th, 2015. I remember like it was yesterday. I don't. Actually, I do, because this game was awesome. A week after beating Nebraska on a Hail Mary, BYU hosts number 20 Boise State at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Tanner Mangum,
look at this throw.
Making his first start at quarterback.
Oh!
Got on the board early. This 84-yard TD pass to Mitchell Juergens. Boise State, however, responded. They took a 24-14 lead into the fourth quarter.
Then, don't call him Tyler Mangum, Tanner Mangum, another Hail Mary, just chuck it up. Shortest dude on the field! Starman, Mitchell Juergens. I'm a star! Catches the ball and immediately went to BYU Radio as the sideline reporter. BYU wins 35-24 over the 20th-ranked Boise State Broncos. Get down, Kai! No, he's gonna house that sucker. That's one of the loudest moments in Lavelle Edwards Stadium history. The Taysom Hill's injured. Oh my gosh, we're in trouble.
Well, the back-to-back
2-0
weeks,
against Nebraska, Boise State, like Hail Marys, some luck there. Like BYU, it was awesome.
But you went right from that feeling beating Nebraska in Lincoln, and then you come in and win that way against a ranked team, and you're like, this
from
is
from the kid who's from Eagle Idaho,
right,
by the way, in Boise.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome. All right, let's check out today's headlines.
BYU football plays at Wyoming in 2 days.
W-Y-O!
After practice yesterday, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick confirmed that running backs L.J. Martin and Hinkley Rapati, they have been ruled out for the game. Yesterday, he said who you could expect to see at running back for the Cougars.
Play Miles, okay, and Enoch Nawahine, and then we have Sione Moa and Pokai ready to go as well. So those will be the four guys that travel. And there's a chance all four could play. You'll see a good dose of Miles and Enoch. And then the other two are ready to play and good chance they'll be in.
In fact, there's two Sione Moas on the team. One's a linebacker, one's a running back. So no Javessa Mooney. You will see Sione Moa, the running back.
The running back, the running back version.
Yeah.
Pre-game coverage on both BYU TV and BYU Radio begins at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Kickoff is at 9 Eastern on CBS Sports Network and BYU Radio.
FB Schedules reports BYU has added Stanford to its 2025 non-conference schedule. That moved up from 2031 as the Power Four game. That fills out the non-conference schedule. It would appear with reportedly Portland State. And then at East Carolina, Southern Utah moved to later in the 2030s.
BYU announces the 2024 class of the BYU Athletic Hall of Fame. Brian Billick, Lacey Kramer Blizzard, Jennifer Hampson, Matt Payne, Dave Rose, and Futi Tavana will be inducted into the 2024 Hall of Fame and will be honored at the game against Kansas State next Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Loaded class, great people. Super excited for Dave Rose especially.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Pretty awesome. Number 17, BYU Women's Volleyball plays at San Diego tonight. That's an old West Coast Conference rivalry renewed. You can watch it on ESPN+ at 10 Eastern time. Big couple of matches there in San Diego. BYU playing Oregon, who's number 12, tomorrow.
BYU women's soccer back on the pitch tonight, opening Big 12 play when they host Arizona State in the Big 12 opener for both schools. You can watch the game at 9 Eastern time. Greg Wrubell, Carla Swenson Haslam will be on the call. I'll be roaming the sidelines on ESPN+.
Ario Mackie-Williams and the New Zealand Tall Ferns kick off their FIBA 3x3 U23 Basketball World Championship campaign. Two pool play games against Japan and Spain. Little do her classmates know, she's busy representing her country internationally.
Speaking of BYU women's basketball, Amber Whiting, head coach of the Cougars, announced the addition of Jordan Loetta to her staff today as the new assistant coach. Loetta comes to BYU from Eastern Washington, also spent some time at Southern Utah.
Eastern Washington, not in the Pac-12. And in case you missed it, the Pac-12, speaking of, announces it added Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State in 2026 to get to 6 teams. We talked all about some of the ramifications, the effects of BYU scheduling and whatnot earlier in the program. Okay, coming up, how the death of his grandfather paved Connor Pay's path to faith in Jesus Christ in our latest Deep Blue. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Well, Connor Pay looked up to his grandpa, but when he lost him to cancer, he also lost his faith. It was a neighbor's love and interest in him that put him back on a path to find and rekindle his faith.
My grandpa was a huge, huge role model.
He's just one of those guys that everyone loves, but the grandkids really love. It wasn't like he ever did anything spectacular or magical, but he was there. He was there and he loved them.
When they got to come up on their mission and they were called here to Utah in the Family History Library, and it was kind of a 9-to-5 gig. They could come to all the games. They got to see all the sports, which my dad loved watching sports. He'd be in heaven watching them right now.
My dad had called all the kids into the living room. That's when I was like, oh man, okay, this is, I don't know what it is, but you know, it's something serious is going on. He just said, hey, you know, grandpa's been feeling pretty sick lately. They went to the hospital and he's got cancer, stage 4 lymphoma.
He was up at Huntsman at the Cancer Institute and kind of in and out, you know, of being released almost, get home, couple days, be back. And so there was never a process where he really kind of got out of the hospital from that point on. So yeah, it was pretty sudden. And to make the decision that he had to make, which was he had the options of you're gonna die in a month, a very terrible and painful death, or you just stop dialysis and over 3 days, you're gonna drift off. And that's what he chose to do.
I felt like I was just learning how to have a relationship with God and what that actually meant, you know, to pray to him and to feel like you're receiving answers and kind of learning for the first time, like how to do that. And I remember just kneeling down and just praying, probably the hardest I'd ever prayed, and just asking for a miracle that he would be okay because our family needed him here. I got an overwhelming feeling and sensation that he would be okay and that he would live. I remember distinctly, you know, probably one of the only times in my life where I feel like I've had a prayer answered that way, maybe the only time. And I remember just feeling such a profound sense of peace and that I could go out there and I could face my grandpa and there were no tears, you know, because I knew that God had just told me he was gonna be okay. And I went to bed that night with a smile on my face. And then I woke up and he was dead. And, you know, that, that was hard. That was hard. You know, probably for the first time in my life that I felt like God really spoke to me. And in that moment, the next day of realizing he was gone, the only realization I could come to was that I must have come up with those feelings on my own and that it was fake. It wasn't real. It's like all this stuff, all this time I spent trying to learn how God answers prayers, it didn't work.
I mean, Connor, yeah, he kept it pretty reserved. We really didn't know how much he was struggling. I think because he was busy and he was doing football and he was doing basketball and he was doing baseball and he was student and his social, like, I don't know that we picked up on any cues.
It's like I was still going to church because that's what our family did. You know, that's we went to church. And it's not that I hated church. I didn't necessarily like it after this moment because I hear all these people telling all these stories about how much God has helped them. And I'm in my mind, I'm sitting in the chair well, like, yeah, well, that dude abandoned me. So, you know, I don't really care about your story. I became pretty bitter. There was a new guy moved into the ward, and he was assigned to be an advisor in the young men's group that I was in. Gosh, I hated his guts at first. He was pestering me all the time about Mutual, about my life, and, like, you know, trying to be my friend.
You work all this time, and it is a very thankless job. Like, you spend a lot of time in the trenches with these boys, and you have no idea if they're even listening to you. You don't necessarily know where that train's gonna take that kid because he gets to choose that. That's the beauty of this whole system, right?
You know, I started to notice, you know, the faith he had in the Savior. Like, all right, you know, like, I'm not super big on that whole thing right now. I get that it's working for you, but maybe there's some other way that I can still, you know, be like this guy without having to go back into that realm that I already know, without a doubt, isn't real. And so I, you know, tried to, like, snake around, like, there's gotta be a different way why this guy's like this. And so slowly started saying prayers again, kind of working my way back into things. And all of a sudden I started to feel myself starting to form a relationship with God again. It kind of just started to blossom from there, and then, you know, kind of grew throughout my senior year leading up to mission papers. And I'd heard so many people say, like, even if you don't really know 100% how you feel or what you know is true, what better way to find out than to go and serve a mission? You're gonna discover one of two things. Either it's real or it's not. You know, so go find out.
He is a spiritual giant, and I do give him that title not just because of his size. I think his spirit's larger than his size, probably triple. He's just really my hero.
I think about that a lot, you know, like, why would I have gotten that feeling? I think in some ways I still don't know fully. Maybe God just knew that I was gonna be very hard-headed and stubborn and opinionated, and I needed something like that to get me to this point now.
Even though that was hard for him, that was probably one of the best things that could have ever happened to him. And would I want my father-in-law to pass away for that to happen? But I know if he were sitting here today, he would be cheering Connor on, and he'd be like, way to go. You did it. You worked through this hard thing.
When you see your own child is going through some stuff, to say, I'm going to turn to the Savior as my solace, you know, as my comfort. He's done great things with his life, and it makes me happy to watch that, and I know how great things going forward, and he'll be a great father someday.
There's going to come a time where you're going to be backed up against the wall, and you have to figure out what you believe, whether or not God is real, whether or not he loves you, whether or not he had a son who suffered and died for you. When you're in the deepest, darkest, most miserable times of your life, that's when a testimony, a real testimony of the atonement of Jesus Christ is born. Because that's the only time you feel in the teeniest, tiniest little way, just a sliver of what Christ felt for you. And I had to go through that, and it sucked. But I know without a shadow of a doubt now that he's there and he's real and he loves me and he's there for me. And I love him.
Deep Blue with Connor Pay. It took that moment for him to not just gain his faith, but he lost it,
yeah.
And then he found it. Sometimes you have to lose it to find it.
And it was stronger. It was stronger, yeah, as a result. And
yeah,
look, there are so many reasons why I love these Deep Blue features. And that was just another example of there, Connor Pay is not the only person who has ever gone through something like that. Yep. That doesn't mean that you've lost somebody, but you know, we've all asked for answers to prayers, and sometimes we get them and sometimes we don't, and how we handle that is up to us. But there's somebody that was watching or listening to that that had gone through something very, very similar. And because Connor Pay talked about his testimony and what he went through, that's going to help somebody else. And that is why I love those Deep Blues.
Yeah, they're awesome. And happy that Connor came back for another year at BYU. Real leader on this team as a person and obviously as a player.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if you miss any of those Deep Blues, make sure you go to BYUSN.com to see those. You can always find them on demand.
There's a lot of them. Go check them out. The big stories, too. They're fantastic. Coming up, who gets today's Elite Voice of the Day? And today's Rising Shoutout includes some of the best to ever do it who get to play in a PGA Tour event coming up in Southern Utah. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Make sure you download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps or listen to the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review while you're there, please.
Jason Shepard, Jerem Jordan with you on BYU Sports Nation. BYU makes it official that the non-conference schedule is out for next year and dates. So BYU hosting Portland State August 30th. That'll be week one. Week two at home, back-to-back home games. Stanford coming to town, as mentioned. And then TBD as to whether the 13th is going to be a Big 12 game or a bye week, at ECU coming up on September 20th. So how do you like the first three games, it would appear? Maybe there's a bye week there of next year.
Yeah, I like that. And yeah, a lot will depend on what happens in that week in between Stanford and East Carolina. But I like the fact that you're starting with Portland State. And then you sort of ramp up before you head out on the road. And, you know, whether you get, I don't know if you'll get an early bye that week. I think it probably does make sense that maybe you get
a
Big 12 game.
Will it be a two bye week season? It depends on the dates.
Right.
August 30th, earlier than August 31st. So maybe it's one of those situations. I kind of like the two bye weeks this year.
I love it.
Give the boys some rest, man.
Yeah.
They need it.
You can always use it. There's no question about that.
And it gives us a chance to watch a full day of college football unimpeded, which is awesome. Our question of the day is this. Do you want to see BYU schedule teams from the new Pac-12? Why or why not? The captain at Brooks Dame. Think an SEC foe or Big Ten would be better for the Cougs if they'll schedule us. I like the Boise State regional rivalry, but feel like Mountain West Conference 2.0, unless they add some real fire brands to get to the college football eligibility. Again, they have the interesting thought. The top five conference champs, so P4 assumed to be among the top four there.
Yeah.
Then the next best league, whatever league that is, the Pac-12 in 2026, the AAC, the whatever. Maybe someone out of the MAC's undefeated and has a good non-conference win, a Northern Illinois type, if you will. Who knows? So they'll be good in terms of eligibility to get in as a top five, because right now the SEC doesn't have an automatic bid. It essentially does. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well,
they are going to be in the top five.
It feels like that.
But it's not automatic from them.
It feels like that G5 spot's going to be filled in all likelihood, more times than not, by the Pac-12 and the AAC. Now, we say the AAC, but maybe some of those teams that would be the ones that would fill that spot, maybe they jump to the Pac-12, and then that really solidifies them as the top G5 school.
And in a few years from now, who knows what this looks like anyway?
Who knows what this looks like tomorrow?
Like, is football still an NCAA sport? It's just its own thing, and it's semi-pro, and they don't have to go to class. They just represent your school. I don't know.
Who knows?
Like, it's crazy, man. At BYU_Homer from Brax. Would rather attempt some giant slang, schedule upper tier Big Ten and SEC teams. Hey, BYU Homer, I love you, but no. I personally do not want BYU to schedule a tough game in non-conference.
No.
It's hard enough in the Big 12. Yeah. I want to win the Big 12 more than I want to win a big non-conference game. It doesn't prep you any better for that. It just makes it harder on the whole year. I want a winnable Power 4 game. Yep. SMU, winnable Power 4 game. Stanford, winnable Power 4 game. I like it.
You need to be 3-0 every year heading into Big 12 play.
I don't want Wisconsin in Provo. I don't want at Wisconsin. Like in Independence with no league, you were just trying to pick off individual games.
Yes.
Because you weren't going to go undefeated. Like it wasn't going to happen. Unless Taysom Hill in 2014 doesn't get hurt against Utah State. That's the one that sticks out. At E-Rock 360. I want them to have three non-conference games, warm-up games, before they start the onslaught of Big 12 play. I feel the same. I know BYU Homer and others feel like they want a big game. In response to our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, the Elite Voice goes to LJ Pearson 1. Why not? Cougs were Pac-12 South champs years ago. We could do it again. Oh, the reigning Pac-12 South champs. No divisions as of yet quite with the Pac-12. They're just trying to get teams right now. Okay, our Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
All right, Kirk Cragthorpe tweeted that the PGA Tour's Black Desert Championship announces sponsor exemptions for former Cougars Mike Weir, Peter Quest, Akihei Akina, who will play alongside Tour regular Zach Blair, and Patrick Fishburne.
That's pretty
cool.
PGA Tour event in St. George. Thanks to everybody for tuning in to today's show. Tomorrow's Game Day Eve started. Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Brady Papinga from Wyoming. Game Day Eve coming up tomorrow. Go Cougs!